Lord, whatever is from you, let it find a home in our hearts. Whatever is not, just let it go its own way. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalms 145, verse 8. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He is slow to anger and great in loving kindness. We have a word for being slow to anger, patience. Take note that his patience is framed by his grace and his loving kindness. Some translations translate patience as long-suffering, putting up with or enduring the failings of another. Of all the things I'm thankful for, I am most thankful that God is patient with me. If he were not, salvation and sanctification would only be for others, those who are better than me. Now, if you're having a hard time understanding what patience is, here's the best definition I can come up with. There was a teacher who was helping one of her kindergarten students put his boots on. He asked her for help, and she could see why. With her pulling and him pushing, the boots still didn't want to go on. By the time she got the second boot on, she had worked up quite a sweat. She almost whimpered when the little boy said, "Teacher, they're on the wrong feet." She looked, and sure enough, they were. It wasn't any easier pulling the boots off than it was putting them on. She managed to keep her cool as they worked together to get the boots back on, and this time on the correct feet. The little boy said, "These aren't my boots." She wanted to scream, "Why didn't you say that when we were putting them on?" But she kept silent, being patient. Once again, she struggled to help him put the ill-fitting boots off. Then he said, "They're my brother's boots. My mom made me wear them." She didn't know if she should laugh or cry. She mustered up the grace to wrestle the boots off his feet again and said, "Now where are your mittens?" And he said, "I stuffed them in my boots." Which leads to the prayer, "Lord, grant me patience, because if you grant me strength, I'm going to prison." God doesn't give us any ability without the patience to use it in a way that glorifies his name and the kingdom of God. One may wonder why patience is considered a virtue and hurrying up is not. Because despite the experience of many a married man, it is easier to hurry up than it is to be patient. My wife's not here today, so I can say whatever I want. When wives choose not to hurry up, husbands have little choice but to be patient. It should be one of the vows that grooms make when getting married. Do you solemnly swear in the presence of these witnesses not to jiggle the car keys, curse, or mutter under your breath when your wife spends 30 minutes debating what color nail polish to use when you're already 15 minutes late? Regarding patience, Margaret Thatcher said, "I am extraordinarily patient, provided I get my own way in the end." God being God always gets his own way, and he knows it. But that is not why God is patient, and it's not why we should be patient. For the past few weeks, we've been examining the love of God, and this morning, I want to move on to the attributes of his love. If we consider two short sections of Scripture, we must logically conclude that because God loves, God is patient. 1 John 4:8 says, "God is love," and then 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, "Love is patient." If God is love and love is patient, then God is patient. Patience is inseparable from love. It is the product of it. Love produces patience. If you lack patience, what then do you really lack but love? When you pray for patience with a particular person, perhaps your pastor, you're really asking God to help you love them more. The patience will accompany the love. Now, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to consider patience and love in four parts. Today, God's patience with us, long-suffering. Then, our patience with God, what we call faith. Our patience with each other, fellowship, and finally, patience with yourself, allowing yourself to grow as God allows you to grow. Now, as for a definition, Webster says that patience is bearing pains or trials calmly without complaint, or manifesting forbearance under provocation or strain, not hasty, steadfast despite opposition, difficulty, or adversity, able or willing to bear. Bearing and steadfast are both very challenging terms. We don't like them, we don't want to do them, and we don't want to be them. However, patience is both. Simply put, patience is hard because love is hard. 1 Corinthians 13 goes on to say that love bears all things and it endures all things. Webster says this is exactly what patience does. So 1 Corinthians 13 and Webster's are saying the exact same thing. What love is and what patience is are the exact same thing. Patience is a time-rooted term, not an event-rooted term. It speaks to when, not if. Patience is how love is expressed and proven over time. God says we love because he loved us. Then God expects love as a return on the love that he invested in you. So God expects us to be patient because he is patient with us. And he proves it over and over again. His patience is proof of his love and should be proof of ours. Let's consider what Scripture says about God's patience with man, and maybe we begin to understand the patience, the patient love that God expects from us, how he expects us to act. Let's begin by looking at a common misunderstanding about the patience of God. Because God's patience is often misrepresented as a lack of resolve. Kindness is mistaken for weakness. Long-suffering is often mistaken for an acceptance of sin. Ecclesiastes 8:11 through 13 speaks to it. Because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed quickly, therefore the hearts of the sons of men among them are given fully to do evil. Although a sinner does evil 100 times and may lengthen his life, still I know that it will be well for those who fear God, who fear him openly. Because we don't suffer the consequences of our deeds immediately, we begin to believe that there are no consequences. The one who does evil openly may even appear to fare better than the one who obeys the Lord, but in the end, justice will be served. There are times when God uses the rebellion of men for his own purposes. But know that the main reason we do not suffer what is due us the moment we earn it is because of the patience that God's love provides for us. The fact that we don't drop dead the first time we sin is not a sign of God's indifference to sin. It is a sign of his patient love towards us. The fact that I am still breathing this very moment is because of my importance to God, not because my sins are irrelevant to him. Patience is not a sign of a lack of resolve. It is a sign of love. It doesn't occur because we don't care. It occurs because we do. Romans 2:4 says, "Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance?" God's kindness, tolerance, and patience are what lead us, allow us to repent. God is willing to suffer the indignation of our rebellion so that we will have time for the conviction of the Word, the Spirit, and experience to lead us to repentance and to forgiveness. God waits patiently for us to embrace truth. While he waits, he willingly endures the insult of rejection. Why? Because he loves us all. 2 Peter 3:9, Peter writes, "The Lord is not slow about his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." Without his loving patience, none of us come to repentance, and all of us perish. Be certain of this. Long before you waited upon the Lord, he waited upon you. Of what value to us would be the blood of Christ if God was not willing to wait for us to accept it and to reach for it? Without the loving patience of God, none are saved. Four verses later, Peter drives the point home. 3:13 through 15. "But according to his promise, we're looking for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you're looking for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. And regard the patience of our Lord as salvation." Regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. "Just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, wrote to you." So here Peter refers to Paul. And here's what Paul said. This is what he's referring to. When Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 1:15 through 16, "It is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am the foremost of all. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost, the worst, Jesus might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. When you consider salvation, consider his patience that allows it to occur. That's what he's saying. Peter makes a note that Paul has already told this to the church. Paul writes to Timothy that surely Jesus came into the world to save sinners and that he was the worst of all of them. Now, he's not being poetic. He's being literal. Paul was full of pride, spiritual pride, the worst type of pride, the pride of the Pharisees. Remember, they killed Christ. And he took part of the murder and the persecutions of the saints of God. And then he claimed such things were for the glory of God. Nothing angers God more than this. Paul said that God showed mercy to me so that the perfect patience of Christ might be shown and proven through me. So that those after me who believed in Christ for salvation might have an understanding of his divine patience with them, with you. If God was patient with Paul, he is surely patient with you. At this point, we should begin to understand that the inseparable bond between love and patience. Because perfect patience, as Paul wrote to Timothy, comes from one place, perfect love. So why is God patient? Isaiah 30, 18. Therefore, the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He desires deeply to be gracious to you. And therefore, he waits. God desires to be gracious to you. Therefore, he waits. On high to have compassion on you, for the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are those who long for him. It is the deepest desire of God to grant grace to all. Therefore, he waits. God is patient because he is gracious, and grace is the purest manifestation of love. God waits to have compassion, and that compassion is absolutely necessary because he is also a God of justice. Without his compassion, which he waits for us to accept, his justice would condemn each and every one of us. Romans 9, 22 through 23. What if God, although willing to demonstrate his wrath and to make his power known, which he surely can, endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and he did so to make known the riches of his glory upon the vessels of mercy, which he prepared beforehand for glory. When the wrath of God is displayed in Scripture, it is not to show us what happens when God's patience stops, but to show us what would happen if it were not there. The lack of such wrath every day proves his patience. However, be assured that there comes a time when patience stops being the attribute of love and wrath becomes the attribute of justice. In the New Testament, the word patient is often translated from the Greek word makrothomeo, which alludes to something that takes a long time to boil. It sits on the flame for a long time before it boils. Now, this doesn't mean that it never boils. God's patience is not foolishness. It is controlled by his wisdom and his justice. In Revelation 2:1, God spoke to a church at Thyatira. I gave her time to repent, and she does not want to repent of her immorality. God gave this church time. God always knows when his patience is being used to mock him. The time that God gives us to come to him does have an end, and he knows when that time is. In Genesis 6:3, the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever. It's not limitless. Because he is also flesh, nevertheless his days shall be 120 years. speaking to this verse in 1 Peter 3:20, Peter said, it says that the patience of God gave the entire world time to repent of the great evil while the ark was being built. And that time was as much as 100 years. He held off his wrath for 100 years, and only 8 people were saved. When God puts a limit on our lives, God puts a limit on his patience. That's why that's there. 2 Chronicles 36:14 through 16. There is a time when time runs out. Furthermore, all the officials and the priests and the people were very unfaithful, following all the abominations of the nations. In other words, my people would become just like the world. And they defiled the house of the Lord, which he had sanctified in Jerusalem. The Lord, the God of their fathers, sent word to them again and again by his messengers, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. I tried. I warned you repeatedly. But they continually mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of God arose against his people, until there was no remedy. Until there was no remedy. God's patience is not limitless. God is not mocked. He gives warning before his patience reaches its limits. And his limits are always far beyond ours, as much as his love is far beyond ours. I can't tell you how many times I've heard Christian calling down the wrath of God on people because they considered them sinners, and God just shakes his head in disgust. Let God handle his own patience. I like to consider Jesus weeping for Jerusalem as he entered. He knew that the patience of God with Jerusalem and with the Jews had reached its end, and that Jerusalem had caused the patience of God to evaporate as the pot boiled in sin. Yet, Jesus wept openly for them. You see, the terrible swift sword of the Lord is not unsheathed with haste or with glee, because the wrath of God is a sad conclusion for all involved, including God. I ask you to recognize and appreciate the patience of God, the patience he has with you and with all mankind. Recognize and appreciate that his patience with you is a product of his love for you. It is a proof of his love. The fact that you are still sitting here breathing is proof of his love. Understand that while we have been learning patience, God has been displaying patience with us ever since we fell. Know that patience isn't just a virtue. Patience is the evidence of love, and love is the evidence of God. If we love God as we claim, then our patience with his time will be that proof. What we call faith is really patience with God's time. And that patience is the result of one thing, our love for God. We will look at this the next time, and I leave you with this to contemplate from Campbell Morgan. Waiting for God is not laziness. Waiting for God is not going to sleep. Waiting for God is not abandonment of effort. Waiting for God means first, activity under command. Second, readiness for any new command that may come. Third, the ability to do nothing until the command is given. Amen.